Dean Thompson.
Okay, thank you. So Face the Music was a hard one for me. I was like, Face the Music, what am I going to do? Face the Music. And so I actually went to idioms.com and looked up Face the Music, and it said, to face the unpleasant consequences of one's actions. And I was thinking about that. It's like, it's not that I never had any unpleasant consequences. It's just that I always tried to make the best of a bad situation. You know, I go with the thought that every cloud has a silver lining. You know, it's like, Dean, you're grounded. It's like, oh, cool, I get to read my book more. Okay. Dean, you got a weed. I want you to get the weeds out of this entire area. Oh, great. I get to be outside, look for cool bugs, maybe see some birds, make the area look nice, you know, do some gardening. You know, it's fun. And so, you know, doing that sort of unpleasant consequence, I didn't really have it. So I thought, face the music. And I thought, music. Music, now music, you know, facing the music and the faces of music. That when I think back, the thing that probably really turned me on to music was when I was, I think, in eighth or ninth grade, lying on my back in my best friend's living room, listening to his dad's reel-to-reel tape player play Dark Side of the Moon. And it was my first time either one of us had heard a multi-track recording in quadraphonic sound. And it was just like, wow, this is amazing. And after that, the faces that associated with music were Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull and Peter Gabriel from Genesis and Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Bob Dylan. And that, you know, these were the faces that I associated with music. And then when I went to college, I got introduced to more bands like the Allman Brothers and Leonard Skinner, and then I started going to parties where they had live bands. And my family, we didn't really do much live music when I was little. And when I came to college and started going to these live bands at these parties where you could, you know, have a barbecue, pitch horseshoes, kick hacky sack, and listen to live music and dance. I mean, that was just fun, being with live musicians. And it's so wonderful to be around musicians when they're practicing their art, because it's an art that can move you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and move you physically. I mean, there's some music you can't sit there and listen to. You got to get up and dance. And as far as live music is concerned, I think I can safely say the best live music, or I should say the most amazing shows that I ever went to, were dead shows. There is nothing like a Grateful Dead concert. I'm telling you right now. And the first Dead show I went to, it was an eye-opener. I went there, and I figured I could be as weird as I could possibly be and turn around and see somebody twice as weird, okay? And the music, and just getting to the shows, you know? A road trip, ah, we're going down to Dead show, okay, you know, I don't have a ticket, it's cool, I need a miracle, okay, we got it, we'll get it, okay? We get there, kick sack, you know, go into the show, you know, go up to, get as close as you can so you can face the music, feel Phil Lesh, drop those bass notes to where your fillings rattle, you know, and you got Bob Weir up there on rhythm guitar, and, you know, and then there's Jerry, you know, just playing his lead and taking you to who knows where, and it's just, you know, dead shows were amazing. And I think, other than, I haven't been to dead shows lately, but I think what really crystallized this story in my brain was being at the Live Oak Music Festival just this last weekend. And that was where I kind of came up with this idea of music. Because Saturday night at Live Oak, I mean, Live Oak has lots of big names, and it's really neat to go to the shows there. You've got the Indigo, we had the Indigo Girls, and we had James McMurtry, Carolyn Wonderland, David Lindley, some great acts up there. But after Carolyn Wonderland was done on Saturday night, things were just kind of, it kind of got great from there, because I went over to the Hot Licks stage where they had a dance band. It was a Zydeco Magic, David Theory and Zydeco Magic. And the front man of that guy is just wonderful. He had this big washboard, steel washboard, and he was just personality bigger than life. The place was packed with people dancing. Everybody was just dancing with smiles on their face. By the end of the night, he had all as many pretty girls as he could up on the stage, and everybody was just, it was just crazy. And he got done a little bit after midnight. And then I went back to my camp, and I thought, okay, I had a good night, you know, it's about 12:30, I'm going to go to bed, and I went to the little area, our kitchen area, where we had a bar and food and everything. And I was like, I need something sweet before I go to bed. So I picked up a bottle. I was like, oh, ginger ale. And so I poured the ginger ale in a tumbler, about that much ginger ale in a nice tumbler, and I swigged it on down. But as I swigged it on down, as it was past my tongue going into my esophagus, I quickly realized this was not ginger ale. And it was like, oh, what the heck is this? And I hope it's not lantern fuel or something. And I look at it, it says ginger ale. But then I turn it over, and ginger ale is crossed out in Sharpie. And in little letters, it says Jack D. I'm like, great. I just took like 2.5 to 3 shots of whiskey. And I'm not ready to go to bed now. So I wandered around the Live Oak camp. And I just wandered up and down. I went from campfire to campfire, sang some songs right there, went to another campfire over there. Hey, they're telling stories. I got a story to tell. I told some stories. Then I found myself down by Riverview Drive and I think Mandolin Lane, right? And it's like, hey, there's Charlie, there's Mike, there's Pete. I know these guys. This is my kith. All right, I can hang with you. And we sat and we danced, and you know, they had like 5 different instruments down there, and we just played music, sang Beatles songs and John Prine, and then they finished, and it was about 1:30, and I'm, where am I? Oh, there's Scorpio. Okay, so I just head that way. I know I can get home. But the thing was is that everywhere I turned, I would face music. There was music everywhere there. But the face that I remember most from that festival was on Sunday evening. When David Lindley was playing, I was up at the Boo Boo Records place, merchant area, to buy a CD. And I was standing there, and all of a sudden, this little boy, about 8 years old, comes walking up with his sisters. And one sister looked like maybe 4, and the other one was like 6. And they looked like your typical Live Oak kids at the end of a weekend. You know, they've got food stains all over their cheeks. Their skin is discolored from grime and sunburn. You know, there's bits of grass sticking out of their hair. And the boy comes walking up, and in his hand, he has a fistful of bills. And he comes up to the guy behind the counter, and he goes, here. And I was like, well, what's this? He goes, I want to buy that ukulele. He said, hold on, son. He goes, those were pretty expensive. Let's see what you got here. And so he starts uncrinkling these bills. And there's like a couple that look like have ice cream stains on it. And there's leaves and grass coming out of this thing. And he's laying. And one of the little girls is like, there's a $20 bill in there, too. He's like, okay. And I go, where'd you get all this money, kid? Were you on the corner like juggling or something? You know, get your hat out there? He's like, oh, no. I wanted this ukulele since last year, but my dad said I had to get the money for it. So he gave me a plastic soda bottle, and he said, just fill the bottle up with money, and I'd probably have enough. I said, man, he goes, yeah, it took a long time, but there's enough there, I'm sure. And so the guy counted it out. He goes, okay. He goes, well, the ukulele's $40, and we don't charge tax, so you get $4 back. And one of his sisters says, you even get money back? And he said, well, what do you want? You want this one up on display or you want the one in the box? And the boy said, I want the one in the box. And right there in front of him, open box, there was this ukulele. And he kind of took it in his hands. He looked up at the man, and the man says, it's yours now. And he looked down at this ukulele with this look of awe and reverence. And he kind of cradled that box, and he walked off with his sisters skipping around him. And he walked off, and I thought, told the guys, I said, there goes a future musician. And there's another guy there. He goes, you know what? I almost teared up watching that. And I thought to myself, someday maybe that kid will be up on the main stage and everybody will be in the audience facing his music.